Tova to everyone. Piska Tova. A good acquittal. And all the other salutations that have that are in order. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah presents a Machlokes Tanoim, a famous argument between two Tanoim. How many meals one is obligated to eat in the Sukkah? Rabbi Eliezer contends one is obligated to eat 14 meals in the Sukkah in the course of the 7 days, once during the day and once at night. And the Gemara derives this from the Pasuk in Parshas Emor, Basukos Teishu Shivas Yomim, the obligation to sit in the Sukkah for 7 days. Derech Agav, the word Teishu, the Gemara right away interprets to mean Kein Taduru. It means to live in the Sukkah, to dwell in the Sukkah. I mentioned in one of the other Shurim that the Rambam has a striking interpretation of this word Teishu. The Rambam interprets the word Teishu literally meaning to sit. And that's why the Rambam who's quoted in the Halachas in Mishnah Torah, of Hilchos Sukkah, he tells you that in the night of Sukkot, you're supposed to make Kiddush standing up, because the mitzvah is yeshiva, the mitzvah is to physically sit, and therefore the bracha has to be made by Mido, know that it should be over l'asiyasa. Once you make the bracha, leishim basukkah, then you sit. It's a very striking interpretation. I mentioned that this Rambam parallels another Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, where the Rambam there tells you that when a person is in shul, the primary posture that he should exhibit is the posture of yeshiva. The Rambam says, Sha yeshiva shom me'iske ha-mitzvahi. The mitzvah is yeshiva, to sit. Shenemar ashrei yoshev yisecha. A posture that we're very familiar with. Of course, the term ashrei yoshev yisecha means happy are those who dwell in your house. Similar to basukas teishu shivas yomim. Happy are those who dwell in the sukkah. But the Rambam interpreted both sukkim as referring to a physical posture of yeshiva. So that's just, derech agav, I'm mentioning that. So here the Gemara presents on Chav Zayin, a position that one is obligated to eat 14 meals in a sukkah, one during the day, one at night, because teishu came to do. Generally, people have 2 meals a day. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham indicate that in a person's home, he has an option. If he wants to eat, he can. If he doesn't wish to do so, he's not obligated to. So that might seem to imply there's no obligation to eat in the sukkah, even night number one, the first night of sukkahs. So the Gemara says that can't be. We have Gzer Shava. We compare actually 2 nights of the year, namely the night of the Seder, when a person is obligated to eat matzah, the Pasuk says, Barev tochlu matzos, and the night of sukkah, where a person also is obligated to eat in the sukkah. And the Gemara says, there's a Gzera Shava, which means we compare two different arenas, two different areas, Tesvav, Tesvav. Here it says Tesvav, when Sukkot takes effect, and Leil HaSeder is also Tesvav. Just like there, the first night, there's an obligation to eat matzah. So too, here there's an obligation as well to go and eat in the Sukkot. So Meikra Adin, the only obligation to eat in the Sukkot is really the first night of Yom Tov, the first night of Sukkot. So this is a very significant halacha that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Tav Resh Lamed Tes. The Mechaber in Tav Resh Lamed Tes writes very clearly in Sif Gimel, I'll read the language of the Rabbi Yosef Karo, Achila b'sukkah b'leil yom tov rishon chova, the obligation to eat in the sukkah on the first night is very clear. Even if one eats a kezayis of bread, one fulfills his obligation. From that point on, there's no obligation to eat in the sukkah. Namely, if a person wants to eat a meal that consists of the 5 grains, then of course he'd be obligated to do so in a sukkah. But let's say he has no desire to eat any of the 5 grains. So he can go ahead and eat peros, ukloyos, chutzasukkah. He can eat fruit and any other kind of food item. And technically, legally, it can be eaten outside of the sukkah. And the Rambam says this as well, and this is quoted by the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, And he compares the kedina achilas matzah to Pesach, similar to the obligation of matzah on Pesach night. The obligation is only to eat one night. There's an obligation to eat matzah because of the pasuk ba'erev tochlu matzos. So this is the essence of the mechaber of Rav Yosef Karo's psak, namely the Gemara Daf Chav Zayin, that there's an analogy that's drawn between the first night of Pesach and the first night of Sukkot. Just as there's an obligation to eat matzah the first night of Pesach, there's also an obligation to eat the first night in the Sukkah. The Rambam adds a number of tenoyim, a number of preconditions that are also critical. You have to wait till it's Vadei Laila, till it's certainly night, and you should eat before Chatzos Laila, before midnight. And the Ramah also adds, just like the first mission of Rav Tzachim tells us, Erev Pesach Samach Mincha, Layocha Matzah, one should not eat matzah on Erev Pesach in order that he should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah at Pesach night, Litei Avon. That's the Lashon of the Rashbam and other Rishonim, beginning of Rav Tzachim. So the Ramah says a similar din applies as well on Erev Sukkot, that one should not eat mechatzos hayom ve'elech, in order that one should be able to eat b'sukkah l'te'avon. So we see there are a number of analogies between the first night of Pesach and the first night of Sukkot. So here the Mechaber says very clearly, even if I ate a kezayis of pas, I fulfill the mitzvah. And in chutzars, of course, the same would apply on the second night of Yom Tov, the same din of achilas kezayis is relevant in Chutz Aretz, obviously not relevant in Eretz Yisrael. And that would seem to be the clear position of the Shulchan Aruch. Now comes the Mishnah Berurah, and in Sivkot and Chav Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says something very significant. He points out that what one should really eat in the Sukkah on the first night, one should eat more than a kibetza. Why? Because since there's an obligation to go and dwell in the sukkah, teishu kein tadura, and one has to eat a meal that's kavua, one has to be kovea suda in the sukkah. So the Mishnah Berurah indicates that this is a shir more than a kibetza. Now, we are aware of the fact that many achronim, primarily the one that really introduced this concept, the Nodav Yehuda, the Tzlach, they point out that niskatnu ashiurim, the size of the shiurim today has diminished. And therefore, anything which the shiur is kezayis in general, any achila in kol ha-Torah kula, anytime the Torah has the din of achila, so the Gemara has a principle, ain achila b'chusa b'kezayis. Every achila automatically requires a kezayis. So therefore today, since niskatnu ha-shiurim, since the shiurim have become smaller, so therefore b'zmaneinu, today we require two kezayisim, not one kezayis, but two kezayisim, which is the size of a shiur of a kebetza. Mishnah Berurah writes already in Siman Tov Pei Vav, Sivkot and Aleph, regarding dinim in our Torah, any din which is of a Torah origin, we have to be concerned about this chash. And therefore, it's clear, according to everyone today, the amount that one would have to eat in the sukkah is the shiur of a kebetza. In order to be yotzei the mitzvah, that is the amount that one will be obligated to eat. As I said, we're talking about a biblical obligation. And therefore, the halacha is that even though normally kezayis is the shear in any din that relates to achila, here the Mishnah Berurah says, and that's the position he's citing actually from a number of Gedolei HaRishonim. It's quoted by the Ritva, quoted by the Ran, and this sugya, Daf Chav Zayin, in Masechta Sukkah, they indicate that the minimum amount of bread that one's obligated to eat in the sukkah on the first night is slightly more than a kebetza, not merely a kezayis. Although the basic halacha does not require that larger amount, as I mentioned a moment ago, but still, Mishnah Berurah says it's proper to satisfy that view as well. This is the maskana of the Mishnah Berurah. So then the amount to be eaten to satisfy all views is 3.5 fluid ounces of bread. That would be the shear in today's terminology. And perhaps just to give you a more practical shear, it's approximately, I would say, a third of a challah roll, or almost an entire middle slice of a 2-pound loaf of rye bread. Just trying to bring it down to practicality in terms of what we want to have.
Anything be starved with that? In case someone's not eating that much bread? Can anything be mitzdarif with that?
I'll discuss that in a moment. Bli neder. He had something to be, that's a very good question that Rabbi Brix has asked, and that's a very important question because I'm going to get to another halacha here, and I will answer that question in a moment if you just give me another minute or two. So another one of the principles that Mishnah Berurah also outlines over here in Sidkan Chabez, he tells you this achil has to be b'chdei achilas pras, which means whether you're going to eat a kezayis or slightly more than a kebetza, it should be eaten within a time span of what's called b'chdei achilas pras, which l'chatchila is approximately 2 minutes. That's what one of the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes over here. A child under bar mitzvah can probably take up to 9 minutes, but for an adult, he should actually eat it within a time span of no more than 2 minutes. If that's difficult, then you have up to 3 or 4 minutes to eat the proper amount. This is discussed actually in a very fascinating tshuva of the Hagoyin of Ashafainsin Zatzal and Arachayim, Chedek Dalid, that this is the amount of time that one should eat the kezayis or the kebeza, which is the optimal position. And to answer Rabbi Brix's question, one may not talk or eat any other foods until you have swallowed this full amount. So one should not eat other items. Often, sometimes people actually begin to eat fish or whatever other hors d'oeuvres or appetizers are going to be served. That is not appropriate. One should not speak. One should not eat anything else till one has fulfilled the mitzvah of eating bread, b'chdei achilas pras, and it should be done b'vas achas within the period of time that I mentioned. This is all quoted in the Mishnah Berurah over here in Simen Tov Resh Lamed Tes. It's interesting that the Marcheshes, one of the great Gdoli Achronim, Rav Henoch Eggers of Vilna, he contended that regarding Kol Dini HaTorah, Nikir Adin Kedai Shedei Achilas Pras, is between 3 and 4 minutes, and this is the position that was also echoed in the Chuvos Rav Moshe, in Chelek Dalet Siman Mem Aleph. And therefore, since we're talking about a Din D'Oraisa, the obligation to go ahead and eat on Sukkot night, the way one eats on Pesach night, one should be machmir regarding this particular shear. This is the amount that one should eat actually on Sukkot night. And as I indicated, wherever you require a kebetza, which is the optimal shear mentioned here by the Mishnah Berurah, so where you have a situation where kebetza is that which is required, one should do so within that amount of time, what I call b'chdei achilas pras. That's how the Matei Ephraim writes, and that's how the Kaf HaChaim writes. But in general, even if one eats a kezayis, kezayis also requires b'chdei achilas pras. It has to be eaten within that shear. So when one, in effect, has a kezayis, assuming that one takes that position, but even though the Mishnah Berurah clearly indicates that one should have 2 kezayisim, which is a bit more than a kebetza, so again, we're talking about the din of Teshuvah Toduro. That's a halacha that in order to fulfill that requirement, not just a shir of achila, kezayis is a shir of achila. The Gemara says that ain achila chusav kezayis. However, here we're talking about a shir to fulfill the mitzvah of Teshuvah Toduro, and therefore one should eat this b'chdei achilas pras. That's the preferred optimal method, which the Mishnah Berurah mentions very clearly. Now, I also want to point out that another very significant halacha that also is not so well known, but it's important to be cognizant of this and to be aware of this, and this also is mentioned by the Gdoli HaPoskim very clearly. The Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkah, what the Gemara discusses in the Gemara discusses the din of Sukkah, Shilamala Mechof Amba. The Gemara gives a number of reasons why Sukkah is puzzle, and one of the reasons the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, the Torah itself offers a reason why we're obligated to go ahead and sit in the sukkah. The Torah said, "Basukos teshu shivas yomim, kol ha'ezroch b'Yisrael yeshu basukos." Everyone is obligated to sit in the sukkah. Why? Leman yedu darosechem. And all that generations, future generations, will know. Ki basukos hoshati es b'nei Yisrael b'otzi osam eretz mitzrayim. When Hashem took us out of Egypt, so we dwelt in sukkahs. The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph has a machlokes whether that sukkah refers to sukkahs mamish, literally booths that we lived in, or does it refer to Anani Yakovim? Does it refer to the clouds of glory that accompanied the Jewish people? But whatever the case is, here the Torah provides a rationale. The Torah gives us the reason for this mitzvah, So the Paskin bring down, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, in Tav Reish Chafei, that here, that one should tell the members of one's household that should have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah, because we Paskin by mitzvah daraisa, mitzvah tzichus kavana, mitzvahs require kavana. But here, the additional kavana mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah in Tav Reish Chafei, Sivkot Nalev, that I should have kavana when I sit in the Sukkah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to sit in the Sukkah, Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. And either refers to, as I said, Sukkos Mamish, or it refers to Anani HaKavod. That's the Gemara Machlokes and Daf Yud Aleph. So one of the two, either Sukkos Mamish, or as I said, Anani HaKavod. And one has to have that kavana in mind when one sits in the Sukkah. And it's interesting that this kavana that the Gemara mentions actually is also Ma'akev. Means this kavana is indispensable. Because it says in the Pasuk, the man Yedah Dor HaSeicha. So the Mishnah Berurah right away notes that b'di'eved you are yotze. B'di'eved, if a person does not have this kavana, doesn't have this intention in mind, you are yotze, because as long as you have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah, so then b'di'eved ex post facto you're yotze. But that's not the chatchila. Ab initio, the chatchila, one has to have this kavana in mind. This is a din d'oraisa, and the Torah mentions the reasoning, the rationale, and therefore that rationale has to accompany the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Chatchila, one should be nizer, one should be careful regarding that matter. As a matter of fact, if a person wants to be Kiyum HaMitzvah as well, the other days of the Chag, of the Yom Tov, he also has to have Kavana. Especially if he makes the Bracha, Leishir Basukah. Embedded in that Bracha, Leishir Basukah, is this idea. The Bracha should not become a Bracha Lebatolah. So that's a very important Kavana one has to have in mind. Leman Yedu, the Rosechem. So even though the Mishnah Berurah says, B'di'eved, it's not Ma'akev, but certainly, the Chatchilam, that is the Kavanah that one should have. It's a very fascinating Taz. The Taz actually here in Shulchan Aruch, he points out that the Gemara has a principle, Mitztarei Potim Min HaSukkah. Let's say a person is in Tsar. A person has tremendous Tsar when he sits in the Sukkah. So the Gemara actually has a Havamina, the reason why Mitztarei Potim Min HaSukkah. Why should that be? Sometimes people do other mitzvahs and they have Tsar. Of course, one should have simcha, but one does a mitzvah. Every mitzvah should be accompanied by simcha shel mitzvah, tremendous joy that Hashem gave us, the schus, the merit of doing mitzvahs. But the Gemara has such a havamina, the reason why mitzvah might be part of a sukkah, let's say there are flies, there are bees in the sukkah. Today we have all kinds of technology to trap bees and all kinds of different devices that can, Baruch Hashem, ward off. And we can prepare an environment which is conducive, which is has all the amenities that one requires in order that one should not be in Tsar. But assuming that there's a concept, which is a halachic concept, that someone is in Tsar, it's Patam and Asukah, what's the reason? So the Taz in Shulchan Aruch, in Tav Reish Mem, Sivkot Zayin says, the Havamina, that Mitzvah is Patam and Asukah, because the Ikar Mitzvah of Sukkah is to remind ourselves what the Torah says. Leman Yedid Oroseichem, Ki Basukah Soshavti Yizmena Yisrael, Motziah Samer is Mitzrayim. So someone who's mitzdayer, someone who's in, feels in a state of siege because there are bees, there are flies, sometimes it's very hot, whatever it may be. So he's preoccupied with his tsar. And once he's preoccupied with his tsar, so he's not able to focus, not able to concentrate on the mitzvah being the man yedu d'rosecha. And there's an interesting bi'a alocha, the Mishnah Berurah actually in Siman Samach earlier, he has a very fascinating comment when the Shulchan Aruch talks about whether mitzvahs require kavanah, don't require kavanah. We generally paskin the way the Advaz writes that mitzvahs d'oraisa require kavanah, mitzvahs d'rabbanan don't require kavanah. He would talk about mitzvah d'oraisa. Mishnah Berurah says if a person wears tzitzis and doesn't have kavanah, when he wears the tzitzis to be yotze, he's not mekayim the mitzvah, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. And there's also a bitul of mitzvah say, he has actually negated, he has repudiated a positive commandment because he's worn a beggar of dollar conference. He wears a beggar of four garment, of four corners, without kiyum of the mitzvah of tzitzis, without having the proper kavona. The Torah says as well, with reference to tzitzis, we say it every day. Urisim also, uzachardim is called mitzvah Hashem, vasisim also. We mentioned that the person wears tzitzis, you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem is barach, and the Gemara says that zchira, remembering the mitzvahs leads to asiyah, leads to a better performance of the mitzvahs as well. So that's something which is very significant. Even when one puts on tzitzis, one has to have the rationale, the reasoning of the Torah in mind. And so too, a person eats in a sukkah and doesn't have the kavana, doesn't have in mind what the Torah says. L'man yedu d'rasechem ki basukos hashabdis b'nei Yisrael v'otzi asam eres b'tzrayim. So this is something which is l'chatchila ma'ake. It's something which is, initially, that should be the kavana that one should have in mind, similar to the mitzvah of tzitzis mentioned by the Bi'a Alocha in Siman Samach, where the Torah records the reasoning for tzitzis. L'man tizkeru v'asisem eskol mitzvosoi v'isem kedoshim l'elokecha. And therefore, if a person goes ahead and eats in a sukkah, doesn't have in mind the zechel anani akavod or zechel the sukkah's mamish, the two opinions of the Gemara and the Afyud Aleph, so it comes out, you're not mekayin the mitzvah, and essentially you're mevatel the mitzvah seh. You undid a positive commandment that the Torah tells us that we have to perform regarding this mitzvah of sukkah. Just derech agav, that one of the thousand reasons I moved to Eretz Yisrael is that, thank God, kimat all the years I've been here, and Baruch Hashem, we're entering the 26th year, Ken Yirbu, there's kimat never been rain on Sukkot. It's among the many reasons I moved to Eretz Yisrael, I made Aliyah, because I wanted to avoid the issue of rain. The Mishnah in Sukkah that compares that to someone, Ribbono Shel Olam, is not too happy, and that's a sign of someone who's not happy with those who are obligated to engage in Avodas Hashem. So here in Eretz Yisrael, thank God, we don't have that problem. However, if rain does take place, rain does fall on the first night, so there are more paskins in Tofrei Shlamates Sifei, in the same simen, that one is obligated to eat even if rain comes down. Why? Because many Rishonim are of the opinion that the first night, where the chiyuv is derived, as I mentioned at the outset of the shiur, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, from the Gzeirah Shavah of Tesvav, Tesvav, there's no ptur mitzdayer. The exemption of mitzdayer patman asukah is not applicable on the first night. The Mishnah Berurah actually quotes over here in Tafrei Shlamates Sivkon Lamed Hei, the Rabbi Shana were held that there's no distinction between the first night and the other days of sukkah. So many achronim were machriya that even though you're obligated to eat in the sukkah because of a safek, but you're not going to make a bracha in the sukkah under these circumstances because safek brachos lahakel. Mishnah Berurah actually quotes that even the first night, you should wait till chatzos. Hopefully the rain will dissipate, the rain will pass. The other achronim indicate it's not kedai to wait so long, because if you wait, then here your children, your entire family, perhaps there are even young adults or even those that are still ktanim, that are still below the age of bar mitzvah, and they would obviously be impacted by a lack of simchas yom tov. And therefore, other achronim just mentioned you don't have to wait till chatzos, but you wait shor shtayim, an hour or two. There's even a question in Achronim regarding what's the din of a chole, of someone who's sick, legabe the first night. There's a suffering among the Gdoli Achronim, whether chole is chayav, or not necessarily chayav. Some say he's chayav, some say he's potter. And generally the Achronim is that even a chole, we're not talking about a chole sheish b'sakona, chas v'sholom, obviously that's a different story. We're talking about a chole sheim b'sakona, but many Achronim assume that you are chayim. Now, generally speaking, by mitzvahs, we don't find the ptur for chol shema sakana. So here it has to be clearly because the mitzvah is founded upon, is grounded upon the yisod of teishu kein todurum, that you're supposed to live in the sukkah the way you live in your home in the course of the year. So according to the Ramah, the first night, there's no din of kein todurum. You're chayim even mitzdaya, because a person would not live in his house if he's in a state of tzar. That's not what people do. They would try to fix the situation. They would try to correct it to the extent that they can. So it could very well be that Adraba, on the first night, there's no din of Kein Toduru. That's why even Mitztayer, a person on the first night, namely the Aksham in this rain, so the suggestion is you have to wait till Chatzos, you have to wait till midnight to perform the mitzvah, and perhaps even the Choleh would be obligated under those circumstances as well. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, was very fond of saying over a machlokes that is quoted by the Ritva. The Ritva on this sugya, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the Ritva quotes, when the Mishnah brings this machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, and we paskin the first night is an obligation to eat the sukkah, and after that it's a reshus, it's optional, as the Mechaber mentioned, Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam paskins that if you eat a kezayis pas in the sukkah the first night, you yod to the mitzvah, and the Ritva brings a machlokes HaRishonim regarding this matter, namely the issue of kezayis versus kebetza that I discussed at the very beginning. Rav Soloveitchik used to say over a story that happened with him, namely, what does one do on the first night? There's an issue of rain. This came up, but I lived in Chutz Haaretz many, many times. So the story is with his father, that once there was a storm the night of Sukkot on the first night, and the storm did not actually stop. It continued to rain and to pour incessantly. And essentially what they did was, all the young children, the entire family, the whole Soloveitchik family, they ate some bread in the sukkah, and then they went to sleep because it was not possible to remain in the sukkah. But Hagoyim Namesh Soloveitchik's Natsal, Rav Soloveitchik's father, stayed up the entire night and waited the first night of Sukkot to see if the rain would stop. And apparently in the middle of the night, I don't know exactly what time it was, perhaps it was 3 o'clock or 3:30, after the rain stopped, he woke up his entire family. And they went back into the sukkah in order to eat a kibetza with the bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik asked his father that, why am I being woken up in the middle of the night? The whole reason why there's an obligation to eat the kibetza in the sukkah after the rain has stopped is in order to fulfill the shita of the Rishonim, who assume that even though you have a situation of mitzvah, as I mentioned a moment ago, the question is whether mitzvah applies in the first night of sukkah. It does not apply in the first night of sukkah. But it would seem that we're in the middle of sleeping, and we're in a deep sleep, and now to wake us up, you just caused us a lot of tzar. So why did you wake us up in order to cause us more tzar? And exactly what Moshe Soloveitchik answered, I don't recall, but Rav Soloveitchik thought himself that there are two types of tzar. There's one tzar from the actual yeshiva and the sukkah itself, namely rain's coming down, or there are all kinds of yitushim. There are flies and bees and who knows what. Maybe the heat is so intense that you're not able to handle it. That's called tzar at the moment, at the time of yeshiva. And then there's another kind of tzar, namely, in order to get to the sukkah, I'm sleeping, and now you wake me up in order that I should get to the sukkah. That's tzar. But once I get to the sukkah, there is no tzar. The rain has stopped. And once the rain has stopped, so perhaps, in effect, when do we say that mitzvah is patur min ha-sukkah, the first night of sukkah? That's only tzar in the actual yeshiva. That's not called a ma'isa mitzvah. A person, the way the Rama calls Yerushalmi, someone is exempt from something and continues to do it, that is considered to be an act of a hedyo. That's not a wise kind of action. Means you're not being kaima mitzvah. But if someone has tzar, the second kind of tzar that I just described, namely getting out of my bed, under my blankets, I have to get out of my blankets and out of my nice cushioned pillow, and I have to come to the sukkah. So you are not exempt from sitting in the sukkah. There's tzar getting to the sukkah, but once you're in the sukkah, there's no tzar whatsoever. So it could be that tzur mitzvah is not knowing b'layla rishon. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik said that his father woke them up in order to mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. So there's a distinction between the first night and the other nights. I just want to comment on a few other things that people asked me today about, and so I just will address it. One is the question of Havdalah in the sukkah. This is a very significant issue that the Mechaber writes in Tafresh Lamed Tes Siv Dalet, that he says, essentially cites the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you want to daven, you could daven in the sukkah, or you could daven outside the sukkah. I heard from Hagoyin Harav Tendler Shlita, the son-in-law of Hagoyin Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. He told me that his shver, his father-in-law, spent the entire Yom Tov in his sukkah in Muncie, New York. And what he did was, he had a retractable roof in his living room, and the roof came off, and then tzchach was put on top of the roof of the living room, and Moshe lived the entire 7 days of Sukkot in the sukkah of his son-in-law, of Rav Tendler Shlita, and his Rebbetzin, Aleha Shalom, who was the daughter of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, and he lived there the entire Yom Tov. Davening took place there, all the meals took place there. There was only a washroom on the side, right outside the living room, where Moshe could have recourse to that when necessary. He said shiurim there, and he learned there, literally, teishu kein toduro. That's the ideal situation. If one could possibly arrange that, that's ideal. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here in Tafresh Lamed Tes Sivkon Lamed, that regarding davening, that one should daven in a place where one can have a heightened kavana. One can have the greatest kavana. So where a person has menuchas hanefesh, that's where you should daven. So if a person has a shul, as Baruch Hashem was zocheh to have in our city, so then one should leave the sukkah and go to shul because that's what a person does in the course of the year. Teshu kei taduru. People leave their homes in order to daven in shul. And so too, that's what one would do on Sukkot as well. So now the question is, what about Havdalah? So the answer is a person makes Havdalah in his home. And therefore, once you make Havdalah in the Sukkah as well, that seems to be the correct position. So the Shaar Tzion, actually here, the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, in Sivkot Nun Zayin, in Tafrei Shlamei Tes, mentions that those people who normally hear Havdalah in Beis HaKnesses, so they also on Sukkot could hear Havdalah in Beis HaKnesses. That's not the meaning in Eretz Yisrael, just like we don't make Kiddush on Friday night, that's mentioned by the Beis Yosef, by the Mechaber. So too, Havdalah is not made in shuls as well here in Eretz Yisrael. But now the question is, and this is the question that was asked of me this week, namely, what do I do when I make Havdalah in the Sukkah? Do I make a bracha leishir basukkah? Is that in order to make a bracha leishir basukkah in the course of Havdalah? Now, it's fairly evident that there's no din of Havdalah b'makom suda. There is a din that when one makes Kiddush on Sukkot night, there's a din of Kiddush b'makom suda. The same halacha that applies on Shabbos and Friday night and Shabbos during the day also applies on Sukkot, that the Kiddush and the suda and the meal have to come together. But Havdalah, there is no such requirement of Havdalah b'makom suda. And Havdalah certainly requires you to go and make several brachas, and you make them in the Sukkah. And generally speaking, we only make a bracha leishir basukkah if we're going to be involved in achilas keva. That's what I mentioned earlier, eating the shiur b'kibetzah. That's called achilas keva, and that seems to be the correct posture that one should utilize in the context of sitting in the sukkah. So here also, Havdalah, when one makes Havdalah, so there's no achila, there's no din of makom suda, and yayin is not considered to be keva. I saw actually that Hagoyin of Shlomo Zalman Oyer Barzatzal in the Halicha Shlomo, he writes the halacha, that even though in general, when one drinks wine, one does not make a bracha leishir basukkah, but somehow the assumption is that Havdalah is a kind of kvius. Havdalah is a kind of establishing yourself, because a person doesn't make Havdalah in the street, you make Havdalah in your home. So he says, perhaps it's also keva regarding sukkah. So then he suggests the following. In order to be able to make a bracha leishir basukkah at the time of Havdalah, so one should eat mina mizonos, and one should have in mind b'shas ha-bracha, I'm going to eat meat and mezonos after Havdalah. So that's what I've been doing for many, many years, that I make Havdalah in the sukkah, and I have mezonos right then and there, and as a result, I can make the bracha leishir basukkah. And we find different minhagim relating to this particular position, but as I said, there would seem to be the ideal minhag, and this is mentioned by the stipler Zatzal, and that's, I believe, Rav Chaim Kanevsky, Shlita is Noyeg, and the Shevet Alevi, Rav Ozner, writes like that in his Chubas as well, that the ideal is to make a bracha leishir basukkah and to eat right after Havdalah mezonos more than a kibetzah. And this way you'll be able to make the bracha leishir basukkah. And obviously then as well, you're going to make a bracha achrona. The Mishnah Berurah points out over here that even if one were to eat peros, a lot of fruit in the sukkah, and even if one to eat a lot of fruit bekvius, that's only called achilas arai. It's not considered to be achilas keva. And huadin, the same thing applies to, let's say, a person decides to eat meat, to have a meal, or to eat fish, or other kinds of macholim chashubim. Again, it would not be considered to be a kvius. And in general, the Mishnah Berurah also points out, even though technically one would be allowed to eat all these items outside the sukkah, because the obligation of a sukkah is only, as I mentioned, chames saminim, but it's not appropriate for a person to have a full meal. Today we live in a society, no one likes to eat bread, everyone's on diets, but we can go ahead and have enormous amounts of food, enormous amounts of meat and fish and cheeses, not together, obviously, outside of the sukkah. So that's not appropriate. If one's going to eat them bikvius, that's not appropriate. And again, as I said, that one should be machmir, and that's generally the assumption. Now, in Tafrei Shlamei Tes, Sif Beis here, the same simon, I'm still learning, Shulchan Aruch writes that you're allowed to eat achila sarai chutz la sukkah. Achilas sarai means eating of a provisional nature, not something which is kavua. What's called achilas sarai? So here you have the fact that you're allowed to drink water, and I mentioned earlier, wine, to eat peros, that you're allowed to do outside the sukkah. Again, the halacha is that mi sheyachmir al atzmo, someone who is very stringent, lo yishter chutz sukkah afilo mayim harezim meshubach. So that's what Hagoyin of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was doing. He didn't eat anything or drink anything outside the sukkah of his son-in-law, Hagoyin of Moshe Tendler Shlita, And therefore, he was very machmir regarding this halacha, and it's based on a Rambam in Perek Vav Hilchos Sukkah. Rambam says very clearly in halacha Vav that once you try, ideally, to literally live in the sukkah, teishu ke'en toduro, to the extent that one possibly can. So, some person asked me this week as well another question, a member of the shul, that let's say a person, for whatever reason, is sleeping on sukkahs at nighttime. And for whatever reason, he can't sleep in the sukkah. Perhaps he's potter because of his tire, maybe some other kind of exemption. And now in the middle of the night, he wants to take a drink. And it's a big tircha for him to go down to his sukkah and now to go and drink dafka in the sukkah. And if he doesn't drink in the house, he won't drink at all. Is there a hidur mitzvah that one should not drink? That one should be machmir and not drink when one is in one's home and one is in bed, or one is in a position to drink something, but not in the sukkah. So again, what is the reason why ha-machmir is a meshubach? Why should one try to be machmir l'chatchila? And that's a wonderful thing. If the time is because, at the end of the day, that there's a kiyum ha-mitzvah even when you drink water, and it's no different than any kind of yeshiva besukkah. So then in this situation, that at the end of the day, you're not going to drink in the sukkah. You're not going to be kind of mitzvah at all. But if the reason is based on a kind of geder, that a person should not come, that a person should be trying to be makpid to the extent that one can, not to eat outside the sukkah, not to drink outside the sukkah. Generally, people have this kind of chumrah to the extent that they can. So then perhaps here, the situation might be somewhat different. But the chatchila, my point is simply that once you try one's best, to whatever one can do in the sukkah, once you do in the sukkah, once you try to build a sukkah that ideally will be positioned that one can actually literally live there, learn there, daven there, if that's ideal. As I said, that really is not necessarily always the ideal situation. But once you try one's best to mekayem the mitzvah sukkah to the fullest extent. Maybe I'll just mention a very significant halacha as well that also is relevant in general on the other of sukkah. And this is a very famous chakira that's already alluded to by the Mishnah Berurah here. The Mishnah Berurah asks a question regarding the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. Is there a mitzvah mifureshet to eat in the sukkah? And if I don't do that, if I don't eat in the sukkah, so then I have repudiated the mitzvah, say, of course, I've done it passively. I've done it, as it's called, b'shev al taseh. Well, no, maybe there's only an iser to eat outside the sukkah. But there's no mitzvah, per se, to eat in the sukkah. So many achronim assume, and others, that there's an iser to eat outside the sukkah. I'm not going to go into all the details of this issue, but this is a very famous discussion and a very famous issue, and one should be cognizant of this, that there might very well be an iser of eating outside the sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tav Reish Mem quotes from the Magen Avraham that even to give a young child food outside of the sukkah may also be something which is inappropriate. If you assume there's an iser to eat outside of the sukkah, so it's like giving a child machol sasuras biyadayim. Now again, according to other achronim, Rabbi Kiveger and others who assume there's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, and therefore, according to that position, perhaps there's no iser of eating outside of the sukkah, but unquestionably, all this is simply to underscore the significance and the importance of trying to fulfill this mitzvah to the extent that one can. Now this year we don't really have the opportunity to do tiyulim, to go ahead because of the seger, because of the lockdown, because of the corona. Many other factors are obviously militating against our ability to go and shpatzir and somehow do tiyulim throughout the country on the other of sukkahs. But this is also a question that's often asked as well, is that permissible? So we have a discussion based on the Mishnah, Masechta Sukkah as well, whether is this something which is appropriate? Now, generally speaking, people leave their homes. We know that in the course of the, this is a Mishnah, Adaf Chafeyam et al. From Masechta Sukkah. It speaks about Shulchei Mitzvah, Turim and HaSukkah. Rashi there gives several examples of someone who goes to learn Torah in a yeshiva, someone who goes to visit his Rebbe, which apparently may also be a Mitzvah on Yom Tov as well. Or to be the shvuyim to redeem those that are captive. So the Mishnah writes that they are patim and asukah, and the Gemara discusses holchid rochim and afchavov, people who are walking, people who are traveling and the like. So now the question is that a proper thing to do? So Baruch Hashem, today we live in Eretz Yisrael, and here, in the course of a normal year, this year is not a normal year, but in the course of a normal year, many, many people, Baruch Hashem, are still makbid, even when they travel throughout the land of Brother Eretz Yisrael. You can actually take today a portable sukkah, you can carry with you. If you know what you're doing, you can actually inflate it in between 5 to 10 minutes. That's what I've been told by experts, mumchim. So Baruch Hashem, here we have a mitzvah, which is an astounding, wonderful, beautiful kind of mitzvah, following upon the heels of the Yom Noroyim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu in effect gave us Slicha L'Kapara, and now he wants to see how we're going to behave in an environment which is not necessarily the ideal environment. May not have all the amenities, as I said earlier, that we have in our own home, even though today, Baruch Hashem, we're quite capable of creating a sukkah with a beautiful environment as well. But really, it's incumbent upon all of us to try to be mekayem this mitzvah as best we can, and to try to accentuate the sukkah, especially to our children, to our grandchildren, and to try to fulfill the mitzvah, not just of eating the sukkah, but sleeping in the sukkah as well. It's interesting that the Rishonim talk about a very fundamental question. Why is it that the bracha is only made when we say Leishem HaSukkah B'Shas Achila, as opposed to Shina and Tiyul and other things we do in the sukkah? So the assumption is that all those other items are tofel. They are secondary. The primary mitzvah is the mitzvah actually of Achila. That's how the Rabbi Tam, quoted by the Rosh, and other Rishonim say that as well. That's the primary mitzvah. But of course, the mitzvah of sukkah, as I mentioned earlier at the very beginning, I'll just be messiahing with the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says in Perek Vav, the sukkah, Halacha Vav, Ochlim, Vishosim, Vishenim, Vishukkah, Kol Shiva, Bebayom, Bebalayla, Vasalech, Asuda, Chutz, Sukkah, Kol Shiva. Once you eat in the sukkah, once you drink in the sukkah, once you sleep in the sukkah, all 7 days, Bebayom, Bebalayla, that is the ideal. Once you try to create an environment which is ideal to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Halavai that all of us should fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah optimally, mitzvah Hashem, even during this difficult period of time of Corona. And halavai we should fulfill the pasuk, "Usmachtem b'nei Hashem lo'kechem shivas yomim." The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Lulav that "Hasimcha b'asiyas hamitzvah avodah gedola," that the obligation to be besimcha, to be always in a state of joy, to be elated that one has the opportunity to do mitzvahs, is a great avodah. And the Ram cites the pasuk in Kisava, where the Torah, the Talchacha, tells us the Talchacha came about because Tachas Hashem lo avatas Hashem elokecha b'simcha b'tuv leva merov kol. The reason why we're taken to task, why we're chastised, why we're censured, is because we didn't worship Hashem Yisbarach when we had the opportunity b'simcha u'b'tuv leva merov kol. Hashem gave us such a beautiful mitzvah, such a wonderful, wonderful mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. And once you try one's best to fulfill this mitzvah to the fullest extent, as I said, bein b'achila, bein b'shina, bein b'til, b'toch ha-sukkah, whatever one can possibly do to enhance the fulfillment of this mitzvah, halavai we all should be zeche. And just as we are now about to observe the Yom Tov of sukkahs, when we sit in the sukkahs, I mentioned we should have kavona to be mechavin zeche l'anan yakobon, and Zechel Etzias Mitzrayim, Sukkos Mamish, as the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Tofresh Chafei, in the name of the Dali Achronim, so too, halavai, we should all be zeicha to sit in the Sukkah Shel Lev Yosson, B'mheir B'yameinu, B'bias Mashiach, Amen V'yamein, halavai, we should be zeicha to Mashiach Tzikeinu, the Karov.